KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy to cloudy sky, and it's currently 35 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a high of 65. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. The Audubon School Board will hold a special meeting by Zoom 7 p.m. Monday, April 6th. The session will include a public hearing on and approval of the proposed fiscal year 2020-21 budget. Afterward, the board will move into an exempt session for the purpose of strategy discussion with regard to negotiations with employees not represented by a collective bargaining unit. The board will then return to an open session and act on approving raises for the aforementioned employees. The public will be allowed to attend the hearing in person, but keep in mind that due to the COVID-19 precautions and the governor's declaration, that hearing on Monday will be limited to 10 participants, with preference going to board members and other people necessary to conducting the hearing. Members of the public are encouraged to attend via Zoom using a link in this same story we posted this morning on the news page, which can be found also on the board agenda that will be published on Friday. If members of the public wish to address the board with regard to the public hearing, you'll need to contact Audubon School District Superintendent Eric Traeger or School Board President Mark Nissen in writing by no later than this Friday, April 3rd. A woman from Creston was arrested Monday afternoon for violation of a protective order. 34-year-old Ashley Willits was taken into custody at the Union County Law Enforcement Center and subsequently released on a promise to appear in court. And a woman residing in the 200 block of Maple Street in Creston reported to police on Monday that sometime overnight Sunday into Monday morning, someone broke into her car and took a purse containing cash and gift cards. The purse was later found, but its contents, as you might expect, were missing. The loss was estimated at $105. Officials of the Cass County Health System and Atlantic report that as of 2 p.m. on Monday, CCHS had conducted 34 COVID-19 tests, none of which came back positive. 33 have come back negative for COVID-19, and one was pending. The test result numbers released so far are only what CCHS has tested. Officials say if someone who lives in Cass County was tested by another provider, CCHS would not know that. And while Cass County remained COVID-19 free at last report, one case of novel coronavirus was confirmed in Guthrie County. The Iowa Department of Public Health and Guthrie County Health say the individual was self-isolating at home. Guthrie County Public Health Director Jotham Arbor said, "While this is Guthrie County's first case, it may not be the last, and that's why we encourage all residents to continue working together as a community to make prevention a priority." Officials at the Audubon County Public Health Department said Monday morning also that a case of COVID-19 was confirmed in that county. The patient there is between the ages of 61 and 80, and the individual is self-isolating at home. The Iowa Department of Public Health yesterday was notified of an additional 88 positive cases of Iowans with COVID-19 for a total, as of that time, of 424 positive cases. And there have been a total of 6,162 negative tests to date, which include testing reported by the state hygienic lab, along with other labs. According to the IDPH, two Iowans with COVID-19 passed away Sunday night. One was an adult age 81 and up in Linn County, the other an adult age 81 and up from Washington County. 51 Iowans had remained hospitalized as of Monday, while 23 had been discharged from hospitals. A total of six people have died from the virus. The only counties in southwest Iowa that had not reported any positive cases of COVID-19 as of noon on Monday were Cass, Adams, Mills, Fremont, Union, and Ringgold. The Cass County Conservation Board, at their last meeting on Thursday of last week, determined that the campground, including the playground at Cold Springs State Park and all restroom facilities throughout the county parks system, will remain closed until further notice. The campground at Cold Springs Park only has one community water source, as well as one payment box and self-check-in location and a dump station. Those community areas were of concern to the Conservation Board as a place where everyone would be using them if the campground was open. All other parts of the Cass County Conservation Board system are open to the public to use, and you're encouraged to use them at this time while still following guidelines for social distancing. If you have any questions, contact the Cass County Conservation Office at 712-769-2372. Well, officials say the body of a 64-year-old woman was found by firefighters after they put out a blaze at a house in south central Iowa. Madison County authorities say the fire erupted Saturday night at a residence just west of Winterset. A body has been identified as Deborah Robinson. The cause of her death and the fire are being investigated. A driver has been charged with the crash death of a boy in northern Iowa's Floyd County. Court records say Jesse Blade of Charles City is charged with vehicular homicide while intoxicated and other crimes. Blade's preliminary hearing is scheduled for Monday. The crash happened in Rudd on October 26th. The Iowa State Patrol says Blade didn't halt his car at a stop sign and rammed into the passenger side of a minivan. The crash killed 9-year-old Royce Fisher, who lives in Sioux City. Senator Joni Ernst says she's not sure yet a fourth federal stimulus package will be needed, but if one is developed, Ernst says it should include more help for the health care system.
And making sure that we are investing properly in vaccinations and making sure that we are also developing plans for future possibilities of other pandemics.
It's important to thoroughly evaluate how the first three federal stimulus packages are working, she says, before developing a fourth.
You've heard talk from some other states, though. They would like to see additional local government assistance as well as state assistance. And that, to me, is something we will debate. We will see, as long as it's COVID-19 related.
The bill President Trump signed last Friday established a $150 billion coronavirus relief fund for states, local governments, and tribal nations. It also sets aside $117 billion for U.S. hospitals and the Veterans Administration health care system, plus another $11 billion for vaccines and other medical needs. Governor Reynolds will meet with her agency directors this week to review the entire $2 trillion stimulus package and come up with a list of potential gaps or shortfalls in the next plan.
But I don't know if I want to speculate at this point until we have an opportunity to go through that.
Missouri's governor has warned tough cuts will have to be made in his state's budget due to the fallout over the pandemic. Governors of other states with the COVID-19 hotspots have said their states need more federal support. Officials of the National Weather Service on Monday released preliminary information on four tornadoes that affected southwest and eastern Iowa Saturday afternoon. The first touched down 5 miles southeast of Bridgewater and was an EF1 with winds of up to 95 miles per hour. A storm survey team from the Weather Service determined the tornado had developed just before 2 p.m. in far northern Adams County, about 8.5 miles north-northeast of Prescott, and caused minor damage to a farmstead before entering Adair County. Much of the twister's path then remained across open farmland, but one farmstead outbuilding was hit. The tornado, which was about 80 yards wide at the maximum, traveled 4.5 miles before it eventually lifted some 3 miles south of Fontenelle at around 2:15 p.m. Saturday. There were no injuries reported. A second unrated, unknown-strength tornado occurred later Saturday afternoon in Marshall County. Weather Service says that developed at around 4:26 p.m., 2.5 miles south of Rhodes, and ended about 1.8 miles south of Rhodes about 1 minute later. It was a little over 3/4 of a mile wide at the most and moved primarily through rural farmland. A third tornado happened 6 miles south of Hudson in Blackhawk County and was also an unrated, unknown strength. It was about 40 yards wide at the maximum and traveled about a mile in the rural area before lifting approximately 1 minute later, 5 miles south of Hudson. The fourth and final tornado, an EF0, packed winds of up to 85 miles per hour and traveled just under 2 miles. It started out around 5:49 p.m. Saturday, 3 miles northeast of Hudson, and ended 2 minutes later about a mile south of Waterloo. It was about 50 yards wide at the maximum. Officials say, as mentioned, it developed just south of Waterloo in a farm field and moved quickly northeast, where it removed and overturned the roof of an open pole barn and demolished a small nearby garage. The twister continued on a northeasterly path before dissipating in an open field just south of Highway 20. The news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.